This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Roshan Kanisan, and you're listening to Ringgit and Cents, the show that's all about personal finance. Now, we've heard a lot about yield curves in the news over the last few months and what they could mean for, well, the world's economic future. Now, in this episode, I want to break down what a bond is and hopefully break down what a yield curve could mean. And in the studio with me, I have Muhammad Zulfazi Zulkifli, the Chief Investment Officer of UOB Islamic Asset Management. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Roshan.
So let's just jump straight into it. Now, bonds, they're an asset class for people who want to invest their money. It's what we call a fixed income asset. But could you break that down a little bit? What is a bond? What does it represent?
So a bond is basically a debt that's issued by businesses or countries or entities. So let's simplify it, right? Let's say someone owes you money. You expect the money back in a couple of days or a couple of years or a couple of months, right? So you expect some interest on that as well because you've taken the risk by giving him this loan. But bonds are different. You don't get the interest with the principal at the end of the period. You get the interest periodically. So that's why it's called a fixed income. So you know when and by how much interest you get and when the principal payments are.
So essentially, a bond is a loan. It is a company wants to raise a bit of money. So I open it up to the markets. And you lend me this money, and in return, I pay you this fixed income over time, whether it's a coupon or an interest payment over a certain time. And at the end of that, let's say it's a 1 year, 2 year, or 5 year bond, I give you back your principal.
Exactly. So for Sukuk, the coupon rate is called a profit rate.
Okay, so because it's Sukuks and bonds have different structures, is that right?
Sukuk has a different structure. It has to because it. In order for you to issue it, you have to have Sharia approval from SC. But the mechanics are the same. You still get periodic payments and one big principal payment at the end.
And I guess, you know, in this world, we've got so many options when it comes to investment, whether it's equities or property, real estate, or even alternative investments. Now, why would someone invest in bonds per se?
People who invest in bonds usually want certainty.
Right.
So because you know exactly when you're getting your payments and so you can plan your expenses or time your liabilities accordingly or buy the bonds that can be timed along with your liabilities. So it's very attractive to people who are about to retire. And if you look at people who... Financial advisors, they advise you to buy bonds as you are closer to your retirement because a bond has fixed payments and has less volatility than stocks. So that is more certainty for someone who needs that money at that exact time, especially when you are retired or about to retire.
Right, because at that age, whether you're in retirement or about to retire, you're looking for stability and certainty more than you are looking for growth at that point.
Yes.
And bonds can help you do that. And it's what we've heard on the show many times before. The personal finance managers like to say, when you're young, you want to look at growth. So that's where you look at equities or real estate or any of those different asset classes. But, you know, have some exposure to bonds. But as you grow older, you want to invest more of your money into bonds to give you that stability and that cash flow. That stable cash flow is quite valuable as when you want stability.
Yes. If you look at standard deviation of bond performance compared to stock performance, bonds are much, much more stable, but it comes at a lower return. So if you have if you want like a million bucks in like 10 years, right? So $1 million 10 years, you need around 6.9% per annum of return. You probably won't do that with bonds, right? You won't get there with bonds. So you have to have stocks. But if you have a longer time horizon and you just want certainty, So after a million, right? You want to grow that. Let's say you want to double that, right? You can have... let me do the math. If you hold a 20-year bond, in order to double it, you have to have like 3.5% per annum. Yeah. Yes.
So a yield is essentially a bond's return, rate of return.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. So basically, a bond's price goes up as yields go down.
Okay.
So the lower the discount rate, the higher the present value.
So can you help me with that a little more? So there, mm-hmm. There is always that saying, right? The inverted relationship between interest rates mm-hmm. and bond prices. Mm-hmm. Now, why is that? Why is it that when interest rates go up, bond prices go down?
So basically, when you buy a bond or a sukuk, you are accepting a rate for the duration of the bond, mm-hmm. right? So let's say you buy a bond that has a yield of 4%. So you're locking yourself at 4%, maybe 10 years.
Yeah.
And let's say interest rates goes up. Let's say Bank Negara hike rates. And the rate on a 10-year bond yield is 5%. Mm. So you just forgo 1%.
Yeah.
So that's why prices go down on bonds.
So the value of the bond you just bought is mm-hmm. not as valuable as the new bonds that are being issued at 5%.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
You want to sell that and try to buy the new bond.
If you want to realize that loss.
Right. Because the value, the stability in a bond is mm-hmm. if you hold it till its maturity.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. But there is trading that goes on, right? That's what a lot of traders do, I guess. There is bond trading.
Exactly. Because the yield doesn't stay put. It varies. And there's people making markets on bonds. So they trade it a lot. So the bond prices would go up and down during the day, the month, the year.
Right. But that doesn't affect my price of my bond if, let's say, I want to hold it till maturity.
Exactly. Because you've locked it. It's cost price.
Yeah. So no matter what, the bond issuer will pay you back that principal that you, the money that you loaned out, essentially.
Exactly. Exactly. It's just that your future cash flows are lower than what you could have gotten if you've waited and got waited for higher rates.
Right. And that's more of a big deal for traders that are looking for the best yields and best returns as opposed to retail investors.
Exactly. Exactly. Don't time the market. I mean, traders, they know what they're doing.
I guess the difference here is the KPIs are different, right?
Yeah.
For a general investor, a retail investor, someone who's planning for their retirement, it's a very long-term game. Your only benchmark is really yourself, whereas traders have a very different view and KPIs are very different. We're going to continue this conversation in a little bit and get into the yield curve. You know, so much talk about what the yield curve means and this inversion that we saw a few weeks back. Mm-hmm. And we're going to try and break that down. This is Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Stay tuned. Thanks for staying with us here on Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Now, today I'm talking to Zulfazi Zulkifli, the Chief Investment Officer at UOB Islamic Asset Management. And on today's episode, we're talking about bonds. And right now, we're going to get into the yield curve. Okay, Fazli, there are many different types of bonds out there, right? You've got 2-year, 3-year, 5-year, 10 years, and even 30-year bonds out there. And you've got bonds from the Malaysian government, from corporates, from the US Treasury. And essentially, all these different yields form a curve, different yields at different time frames. Mm-hmm. Now, could you help me explain why different bonds have different yields when it comes to different lengths of the bonds?
Okay. So, different issuers have different credit profiles.
Mm-hmm.
US Treasury, because it's issued by the US government, it has one of the best risk profiles. It's rated AAA.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Malaysian government has a credit rating of A-. Corporates in Malaysia have lower rating than the Malaysia government, maybe BBB, right? So the difference between the rate of which these governments and businesses have to pay is related to the creditworthiness of the government and the businesses. But if you just look at one particular issuer, usually, let's say I'm loaning some money to Corporation A for 2 years, and I get 3% for that. And then I loan to the same corporation at 5% for 10 years. So there's a positive slope for me to extend my lending to the company. It's logical because the longer you lend to somebody, the riskier it is. So usually, the relationship is positive. If you lend longer, you're supposed to get higher returns, right?
Right. So it's essentially the risk reward relationship. Mm-hmm. If you're going to lend someone money for that long, mm-hmm. you want a better return for that.
Exactly.
For that investment, mm-hmm. because your money is locked up for much longer.
Yes.
Right, and you don't want to. You could be doing other things with that money instead.
Exactly. Exactly.
So we were talking about credit ratings, and that directly affects the price of a bond or the yield of a bond. Sorry. Mm-hmm. So what other factors could affect a bond's yield?
We've covered maturity. Mm-hmm. We've covered credit. What else? Maybe structures. If you have like an SPV, like a guarantee, if you get a government guarantee, then your borrowing cost would be lower. So your bond yields are lower.
Right, because you're essentially anything that lowers the risk of default mm-hmm. and guarantees that payment will be made mm-hmm. helps to lower that the price of that bond,
yes,
essentially.
Yes. So basically, the longer bond is, the higher the yields. The lower the credit rating, the higher the yields. And things and structures that help with the credit rating would lower bond yields.
Okay, so it's all about that risk-return relationship.
Exactly, yes.
So now there's a lot of talk about interest rates right now. Mm-hmm. And the US Fed has now turned dovish with their outlook. So interest rates look to be quite stable for the foreseeable future anyway. As we talked earlier, this is positive for bonds, right?
Exactly. Bonds usually lose money when interest rates go up. So if you have a hawkish Fed, bond prices will go up. If you have a dovish Fed or stable Fed, bond prices, it's usually positive for bond prices.
And now let's get to the what's been a very hot topic here and there this year, mm-hmm. the inverted yield curve. Mm-hmm. Now, it's mentioned a lot. It's talked a lot about. Mm-hmm. It has been called an indicator for recession. Mm-hmm. Why is that so? What does it mean when a yield curve inverts?
When a yield curve inverts, it means that the borrowing rate for longer tenant loan is lower than a borrowing rate for a shorter loan. So longer bonds have a lower yield than shorter bonds.
And we just talked about how mm-hmm. the longer a bond, generally the higher the return you would want on that bond. Mm-hmm. So what would make someone want to buy a longer bond for a lower yield?
Mm-hmm. So if you look at yields, there are things that affect the yields. First and foremost, it's the monetary policy. So a dovish monetary policy would mean lower yields. And dovish monetary policy usually comes about when the economy is slowing. So if you are someone who invests in bonds or a trader and you think that the economy is going to slow or possibly go into a recession, you would want to lock your rate of returns,
right?
Because it might not be this high going forward into the future.
So you want to lock in that higher interest rate that could be happening right now.
Yes.
And you want to lock it in for a longer period of time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's why that's why a yield curve would invert. That's why someone would accept a lower yield for a 10-year bond as opposed to getting a 5-year bond.
Yes.
And so that says a lot about investors' state of mind, right? They're assuming that things could get worse going forward. Mm-hmm. So yield curves have been used to predict the last 7 recessions, I think, something around that number. There's been so much news about how the economy is going to do and what's next for us and outlook. Just recently, the IMF cut its growth outlook for 2019 for the second time this year.
Mm-hmm.
Is it time to be worried about markets and the economy?
So at UOB, we use a specific part of the curve to calculate the slope, which is the 2 and 10-year U.S. Treasuries.
Mm.
And this part of curve has not inverted yet.
Okay.
But when it does invert, you have about 1.5 years before the next recession.
So that's based on past observations,
yes,
right?
Yes, past observations, which you've pointed out. In the last 7 recessions, the yield curve did invert before the recession, yeah.
So it's kind of that canary in the coal mine, essentially.
But it also has some false positive. Once back in 1966, it inverted, but no recession. And one in 1998, it also inverted, but the recession did not come.
But that was not in Malaysia, right? That
was you have to use U.S. Treasuries.
Right, okay.
Because U.S. Treasuries, first off, U.S. dollar is the...
standard?
Fiat currency is a reserve currency.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reserve currency of most central banks in the world.
Mm.
You have a sizable people that would go and buy U.S. dollars if anything goes wrong, and especially, and then put that money into U.S. Treasuries. So it's a safe haven asset.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you use to... as a canary in the coal mine for recessions.
Okay. And now another thing we've seen, especially when the Fed was raising rates, mm-hmm. was a flight of funds to the United States,
mm-hmm.
Especially during heightened trade tensions and a lot of economic concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Why does that happen? Why do funds fly to the United States when interest rates go up in conjunction with other economic factors?
Because U.S. dollar is the reserve currency.
Mm.
Yeah, right. Euro dollar controls the world. And U.S. treasuries are the safe haven asset of choice when something goes wrong or people are spooked.
Mm. Because it is the like we mentioned earlier, it's the risk-free asset, right? It's
yes.
the benchmark for all other returns.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
If you get a return that's below the U.S. treasury, then you're not doing very well.
you're correct.
Sorry, Fazi, before we end, do you have any other remarks or tips for everyone out there to help us with our understanding of bonds?
I'm just going to talk specifically about the yield curve.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, yield curve inversion might happen. And when it happens, you have quite a bit of time statistically, historically, before the next recession. But you also have to look at other indicators because growth is still there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as fast as it was before. But the economy globally is still growing. You can also look at the Fed probability models, which indicates the probability of recession. And that is still doing quite okay. It's not flashing red. So, yes, the curve is very flat, but the 2/10 curve has not inverted yet. So do not panic yet.
Yeah, I think that we all get caught up with the term slowing growth, that we forget that it's still growth, right?
Yes.
IMF and may have cut growth for this year by 0.2%, but it's still 3.3% growth. It's not deflationary, it's not negative.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still something to consider when we talk about the global economy.
Exactly.
And on that note, I'd like to thank you for joining us today, Fazli. On the show today, I had Muhammad Zulfazi Zulkifli, the Chief Investment Officer of UOB Islamic Asset Management. This was Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.